brain health. The brain is multifaceted, and so are the ways to care for it. Everything we think, do, say, and feel is powered by our brains. And you have control of your own brain health and performance, which is exactly why I urge you to join us. Welcome to Brain Gains, a Holy Youth-produced podcast partnered with the Brain Health Initiative. In this series, you'll learn about your own brain and how to treat it, from teenagers and experts alike. I'm your host, Grace Johnson, a high school student and brain health scholar, excited to learn with you. Hi, listeners. Today, we'll be talking about one of my favorite pillars of brain health, sleep. I'm sure it's one of your favorites, too. Everyone feels better after a good night's sleep, but sometimes those good nights seem few and far between. To help us understand why sleep is so important and teach us how to get the best night's sleep possible, Brain Gains is welcoming the sleep doctor, otherwise known as Dr. Michael Bruce. Dr. Bruce is a double board-certified clinical psychologist and clinical sleep specialist. He's not your conventional MD doctor. Dr. Bruce is actually a PhD doctor, one of only 168 psychologists in the world to have taken and passed the sleep medicine boards without going to medical school. That's what makes his work so special.
Grace, I help people like this. It's unbelievable. When you're a traditional clinical psychologist, it can take weeks, months, even years before you see any treatment gains in your patient population.
Yeah,
I see things happen in 24 hours. Very first thing is I don't use drugs. I'm not a prescribing physician. So what I do is I do a full formal evaluation and I try to help them in ways, shapes, and forms without pharmaceutical. Number one, I do a full-on assessment and see, do you have another sleep disorder? What else could you have apnea? Could you have narcolepsy? Something like that. Check that out. Number two, we do blood work. So where's your vitamin D? Where's your magnesium? Where's your melatonin? Where's your cortisol? Like, is this unit, your body, working appropriately? Because, you know, sometimes there's no need to add a medication. Sometimes you just have to add like vitamin D. Once we kind of get the body back to normal levels where there's no deficiencies and everybody's kind of doing their thing, then we see, is there really a sleep problem or not?
If there is a problem, Dr. Bruce tries implementing cognitive behavioral therapy before suggesting any medication. Regardless, you don't have to be an insomniac to get better sleep from Dr. Bruce's advice. Here are Dr. Bruce's top five steps to getting better sleep.
Step number one is pick one wake-up time, stick to it. Step number two, I want people to stop caffeine by 2 p.m. Why 2 p.m., Dr. Bruce? Caffeine has a half-life of between 6 and 8 hours. So if you stop at 2, 8 hours later is 10, which is roughly here in North America about when people start thinking about going to bed. So at least 50% of the caffeine is out of your system. To be clear, I'd rather you were decaffeinated altogether, but I'm not an idiot. Step number three is to stop alcohol 3 hours before bed. So it's okay to have a drink, even two. Once you go past the second drink, we have a problem. When you have the third drink, your brain gets more buzz and it shoots up cortisol because it doesn't understand what's going on. Cortisol is your energy hormone. So what happens is that the third drink, you become an energetic drunk. Step number four is exercise. If you want to do one thing to improve the quality of your sleep, it's exercise. But exercise increases your core body temperature, and we need our core body temperature to be low before bed. So step number four is to exercise daily, but stop exercise 4 hours before bed. Step number five, the last one I'm going to give you the tips on, the 3:15s. Okay. So you wake up in the morning, pull your legs over to the side of the bed, sit on the edge of your bed, 15 deep breaths. This wakes up your respiratory system. Also, you become very present. Next, reach over on your bedside table. There should be a glass of room temperature water, about 15 ounces. Drink the whole thing. Okay. People don't know it, but sleep in and of itself is a dehydrative event. You lose almost a liter of water every night from the humidity in your breath and the sweat and the oils and things like that. Don't caffeinate, hydrate. And then the third thing you should do for 15 minutes is to walk outside and get 15 minutes of direct sunlight. No sunglasses.
Getting this 15 minutes of sunlight after waking up is important because it produces vitamin D and shuts down the production of melatonin in our brains, which is the hormone that makes us tired. That means that we'll wake up easier in the morning. As a high school student, though, I have to get up when it's dark outside. But that doesn't mean I can't simulate the 15 minutes of sunlight. Dr. Bruce pointed out that this can be an easy step to bend with the purchase of a sun lamp, which can easily be found on Amazon. Some rules, though, are harder to bend around life. My fellow brain health scholar, 12th grader Hilton Hudson, is a high school athlete. Oftentimes, this means he has to exercise later in the day than Dr. Bruce recommends.
Sometimes my schedule has made it so that practices will end. The latest practice I've ever had end was 9 or 10. But usually it's around 6 or 6:30, so which is, you know, a few hours before I'll go to bed. But during that time afterwards, I'll give myself enough time to relax, to recuperate with food and water and all that stuff and bring my body down a little bit. But sometimes I will do yoga relatively close to my bedtime just because it's a much more relaxing, much less strenuous activity. And I found that it actually really helps my body. I can reduce the stress on my muscles and reduce the stress on my brain and just clear everything out before I go to bed.
I love yoga before bed. I do like a 6 o'clock class when I get the chance, and it's so nice because it's exercise, but it's also kind of meditation. So
exactly.
Do you feel like when it's maybe weightlifting or swimming closer to your bedtime, do you feel like your sleep is ever impacted by that in a negative way?
I would say it depends on the type of activity and the level of activity that I'm taking part in.
But why do we need sleep in the first place? To understand sleep's importance, you first have to understand sleep itself. According to Johns Hopkins Medical School, as you sleep, your brain cycles through two different types of sleep known as rapid eye movement or REM sleep, as well as non-REM sleep. The first part of the cycle is non-REM sleep, which in itself has four stages. The first stage is the state you're in between being awake and falling asleep. The second stage is light sleep, when your breathing and heart rate slow while body temperature drops. The third and fourth stages of non-REM sleep are both deep sleep. Next is REM sleep, where the eyes move rapidly behind your lids and the body becomes temporarily paralyzed as you dream. Though REM sleep was previously believed to be the most important sleep phase for learning and memory, newer data suggests that brainwaves are more similar to wakefulness during REM sleep. The non-REM sleep is actually the more restful and restorative phase of sleep.
Basically, stage 3-4 is physical restoration. Stage REM is mental restoration. So that's the stage that you need before a test, right? That's the stage you need before you're going to go do something really creative, like write a poem or a song or something like that, right? And so there's different things that each stage does. And so it's good to get all of them. But if you only get a certain few, they'll do certain things.
You don't just go through each part of the cycle once, though. After finishing REM sleep, you go back to cycle through each of the stages of non-REM sleep, transition back to REM again, and then repeat. However, with each cycle, you spend less and less time in the deeper stages 3 and 4 of sleep, and more time in REM sleep. On a typical night, you'll cycle through 4 or 5 times. But my question is, why do we feel so good after sleeping?
One of the reasons that people feel so good when they wake up is true physical restoration. This happens during stages 3 and 4 sleep, where we have the largest bolus of what's called growth hormone that's emitted. Growth hormone is kind of like the anti-aging elixir of all elixirs, right? Like if you could just pump it straight into you, you'd like reverse the aging process. But it really, the biggest amount only comes out during stage 3-4 sleep. And so when people are getting that stage 3-4 sleep and wake up, that's when they feel great, is based on that physical restoration. As an example, if we took somebody and we let them sleep, but we only let them get REM sleep and stages 1 and 2, they wouldn't wake up and feel great because they didn't get that stage 3-4 restoration. So it's really about that stage 3-4.
One of the main processes that regulates how well you sleep and when is called your circadian rhythm. It's the biological clock that turns on that sleep hormone, melatonin, and turns off the hormones that keep you energized, like cortisol. But people have different circadian rhythms, which can be sorted into what's called a chronotype.
You may never have heard the term chronotype, but you actually know the concept. If you've ever been called an early bird or a night owl or know somebody that has, that's what we're talking about here. The thing that's unique is it turns out it's genetic. So it's not like you get a choice. You can't choose, hey, I'm going to be an early bird and wake up naturally every single day at 4:30 in the morning. That shit doesn't work, okay? That's all based on your genetics.
Dr. Bruce is an expert on chronotypes and even wrote a book about how to organize your daily life around your chronotype so that you're always feeling your best.
So I renamed them because, quite honestly, I'm not a bird. I'm a mammal. And I would rather have a mammalian, you know, avatar. So what I chose were animals that actually have the same chronotype as what they're representing. So if you're an early bird, you become a lion. So lions have their first kill before dawn. We also know a lot about the personality of these chronotypes. These are my COOs. These are the wake up at 4:30 in the morning on their own type of people. Like, they're crazy, right? Like total alpha, ready to go. And these people make a list every day and go from step one to step two to step three, right? Like, that's the kind of person that we're talking about. They're usually highly athletic. They're usually very healthy. Next come bears. Bears are kind of the people in the middle, right? And that's, by the way, 50% of the population is a bear, which is actually great. I wish I was a bear. Being a bear would be the best thing because all of our schedules are built on a bear schedule, right? 9 to 5 work schedule. It's perfect for a bear. They get up at 7:30. They get to work by 9. They're done at 5. They're home at, you know, 6. They're in bed by 10:30. Life is good, right? Majority of people are bears. They have a tendency to be a bit more extroverted, whereas my lions have a tendency to be more aggressive and kind of leadership role people. My bears have a tendency to be good-hearted. They like to go out to dinner. They like to invite you to their home for holidays. You know, they're like good, solid, salt of the earth people. Wolves are the night owls. We chose wolves because, as many people know, those are very nocturnal creatures. What's interesting about my wolves is they're almost the opposite of the lions. Very disorganized. If they make a list, they go from step one to step 12 to step 47. And that makes sense to them, but doesn't make sense to anybody else. Usually this is my artists, my actors, my musicians, my very creative people have a tendency to be night people. Now, the fourth chronotype, which is the one I wrote the entire book for, are the dolphins. My dolphins are people with anxiety, with a little bit of OCD. They have difficult time falling asleep and or staying asleep. They're highly productive people, so they're a lot like lions in terms of their get up and go and their ability to get things done and things like that. They make up about 15%. And by the way, the wolves make up about 10 to 15% as well. And here's where the magic happens is once you know what your chronotype is, everything else is easy. I can tell you exactly what time to go to bed, what time to wake up, what time to drink your coffee, what time to drink alcohol, what time to be intimate, what time to ask your boss for a raise. It's unbelievable.
All of that information can be found in Dr. Bruce's book, The Power of When. Now, Hilton and I were curious about what our chronotypes might be, and luckily there's an easy way to find out. By going straight to chronoquiz.com, we had a lot of fun taking this quiz to find out what our chronotypes are. I won't spoil the whole quiz, but here are a few excerpts from our experience with it.
The slightest sound or light can keep me awake or wake me up.
This is true for me. I had a friend who was sleeping on the couch the other day because she literally wouldn't wake up. And she walked into my room in the middle of the night and I just sat up straight in my bed and she was terrified. I usually wake up before my alarm rings. That would be you, not me.
Yeah, I'll say true.
Food is not a great passion for me. This is false.
That's
food
very is false for passion. Me. Yeah.
I'm very food motivated.
So am I.
I'm often irritable due to fatigue.
I would say I'm more irritable when I'm hungry than when I'm tired.
So we are flashing back to high school. We're still high school. But if we had to take the SAT again, when would you prefer to start the test for maximum focus and concentration? For me, I'm a morning person, so I would definitely still take it in the morning.
I would say early afternoon, just because at that point I would have been, you know, even though I do go through the morning perfectly fine, I'd be able to wake myself up a little bit more mentally, you know, maybe go get a workout in, something like that, so that I could really feel into it.
If you could choose your own 5-hour workday, which block of consecutive hours would you choose? That's such a weird question. 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. Oh my God. 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. to 9 p.m.
All right. So suggesting that I move my sleep schedule around a little bit, I really would not mind the 4 to 9. I rather use the darkness to get inside work stuff done and use the daylight.
Okay, I do understand that actually, because I have this thing on weekends where if I am doing work past like 1 p.m., it really bothers me because I feel like I'm just stuck inside.
Exactly.
So I kind of do understand that in a sense, because it also makes me feel like I have more time left in the day.
Exactly.
Well, honestly, I might pick that one too, although it would take some adjustment to my sleep schedule, like you said.
It would. If you had to do 2 hours of hard physical labor, like moving furniture or chopping wood, when would you choose to do it for maximum efficiency and safety, not to just get it over with?
Sorry. Moving furniture or chopping wood. I just don't do that very often. I guess I would go the 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Yeah, so would I. I would actually ask for something earlier again, just because I'm used to those early days, like early morning practices and stuff like that.
Okay, so what you just heard is far from the whole quiz, because I am determined not to spoil it. But I will reveal Hilton and I's results so you can see if you guessed our chronotypes correctly. We type in our first name in our email.
Submitted.
All right. Ooh. Oh, I am a bear. What are you?
I'm a lion.
Okay. I don't know about you listeners, but I was not surprised at Hilton's results. He was all about the early mornings. But I had no idea what I'd turn out as. But I think that that makes sense that it would all culminate into a bear. Now, the Brain Health Initiative is trying to help the Suncoast community and beyond with a very similar strategy to Dr. Bruce, focusing on lifestyle behavior change. However, the saying old habits die hard is not famous without reason. I was curious about how resistant Dr. Bruce's patients are to his recommendations.
People hate it. It's very difficult because, you know, patterns are kind of these ingrained things and you feel safe in your pattern because it's predictable and you know what's going to happen and all of that kind of good stuff. Here's what I can tell you is every single person that I work with, the very first thing I ask them to do is to just pick one wake up time and stick to it. And that's the only assignment that they have, usually for the first week, sometimes 2 weeks. So number one, I don't overburden people with a lot of different things for them to do because they're not going to do them. I get them to do one small thing at a time. And when they see how effective that one thing is, then they want to do other things that help with lifestyle changes and things like that. So I start out with the wake up time. Then I move to the bedtime. Then after that, I move to another behavioral, which is caffeine and alcohol, right? So lifestyles, you know, how much caffeine are you drinking? How much alcohol are you drinking? When are you drinking it? What you discover is consistency is the key to the whole thing. So there's two real aspects to sleep that people have to understand if they want to get good sleep. One is discipline. The other is acceptance. Okay. So discipline comes with waking up at the same time every day, not necessarily going to bed at the same time, because I don't go to the bed at the same time. Some nights I want to stay up and watch something on Netflix. Some nights I want to go to bed early. But I get up at 6:15-ish every single day, including Saturdays, including Sundays, right? So once you kind of get that ball rolling, it gets much, much easier. But the more consistent you are, the more disciplined you are, the better off you're going to sleep. The acceptance part is kind of unique. So here's the truth. You can do absolutely everything right and still get a crappy night of sleep. I'm the sleep doctor, okay? I have bad nights. Everybody does, right? And so if you can learn to accept it in the moment, it tends to go away. When people are saying themselves, okay, I've been lying in bed, it's been 30 minutes, this sucks, blah, 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 they ain't gonna sleep. But if they've been lying in bed for 30 minutes and like, oh, you know, this might not be a great night for me, but I've had bad nights before and I've made it through just fine. I'm just going to chill out and relax, maybe meditate a little, maybe do a little breathing because that's recuperative and regenerative for me. And let's just kind of see what happens. And when they lower that stress, the natural sleep process can take over and boom, they're going to sleep. But until you really understand, you got to have discipline. And you got to have acceptance for when the discipline just fails, you're not going to have a great sleep. But once you get those two things down, you'll sleep.
Dr. Bruce's knowledge on sleep is internationally acknowledged and barely cracked open during this episode. If you're interested in more of what Dr. Bruce has to offer, there are many more avenues to explore.
Now, most recently, I wrote a new book called Energize, How to Go from Dragging Ass to Kicking It in 30 Days. And what's fun about that is we took the chronotypes, the four chronotypes, and we layered in the three body types, endomorph, mesomorph, ectomorph. Not only do you get all of the chronotypical information of when to go to bed, when to wake up, but we put in a movement program. So yeah, it's super cool. So for 5 minutes, five times a day, that's it. That's your whole workout. You can actually maintain your energy all day long. No caffeine. You don't need caffeine to do it. And then on the food side of it, we have an intermittent fasting program, which is no great shakes. It's not too dissimilar than most intermittent fasting, other than we do it based on your chronotype. So if you're a nighttime chronotype person, then you would actually feed more later than if you were a lion, where you would feed earlier. Believe it or not, this is going to sound crazy. I'm about to be TikTok famous. I have a TikTok video that hit over 1.5 million likes.
Oh yeah. My gosh, exciting.
I know, right? So if you go to TikTok and you go to the little magnifier glass, you know, the search bar, you type in sleep doctor, I pop right up. I do have a website called thesleepdoctor.com, loaded with information. We got mattress reviews. We tell you how to pick a pillow. We tell you about narcolepsy. There's more sleep information on here than anybody can shake a stick at. So if you're interested, head on over, check it out.
Thank you so much to Dr. Michael Bruce and brain health scholar Hilton Hudson for joining me on today's episode. This podcast is possible in part thanks to the Brain Health Initiative, a study working to build a brain-healthy Florida Sun Coast and beyond, featuring collaborative leadership from the Academy for Brain Health and Performance, as well as Massachusetts General Hospital, a Harvard Medical School teaching hospital. Please visit brainhealthinitiative.org if you are interested in learning more about the Brain Health Initiative or its academic youth program, the Brain Health Scholars. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to Brain Gains, hosted and produced by Grace Johnson.